Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I am joined by Adam Suler. Adam is currently a doctoral student in Lynn's Educational Leadership Program. And on this episode, we talk about why it's so important to build a strong support system, how to connect your passions with the things that you do, and why you always need to bet on yourself. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. Well, I am back and super excited to have Adam Suler, who is just a legend in his own right. Let's just call a spade right here. And I'm really excited to hear, talk a little bit about your path through the education industry, the education realm, what you plan on doing, why you've gotten to this point, and what's going on in the future. So welcome, Adam.
Oh, thank you, Ben. You know, I appreciate you having me on the show, you know, the Lynn legend himself. Ben. But yeah, so like you said, I started off education. I came here majoring in elementary ed with a minor in special education, with a little bit in early childhood. I ended up graduating in 2020 with my bachelor's in early childhood. I kind of switched because, you know, you got to pass those certification tests, and those can be a drag sometimes. But I finished with that with a minor in special ed. I then pursued my master's in special education and got that in 2021 throughout that whole COVID year. And then I'm now doing the doctorate program here at Lynn in educational leadership.
I'll run right through the gauntlet there. No, yeah, all gas, no brakes. So talk to me a little bit about that. You know, why education? Why have you been drawn so much into this? Because you are going one after the other, and really working your way through. So what's the reasoning? Why do you think you've been drawn to education in general?
I mean, I've always had a passion for educating others, whether that's, you know, elementary school kids, all the way up to the college level, and even elders at that point. So I really found while I was younger, you know, working through different camps and clinics, that teaching was really the, you know, the way for me to go. So then I just pursued that and I just fell in love with it because I really like seeing kids progress throughout the year and seeing them grow as a person and in individual. So I really kind of pushed myself to really go out there and help, you know, every child that I can.
And do you think that you've gravitated just throughout the program, or is that something that you were interested in terms of the early childhood education and doing more of the elementary side as opposed to maybe high school or secondary education, getting into college and universities? Do you lean one way or the other, or what's your kind of outlook on that?
See, a lot of people ask me that question, right. And I'm still at that crossroad where I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. I know my passion is, you know, with that Native American community, having that Native American background myself. So really just going on different trips with my tribe and seeing their youth and seeing, you know, a lot of poverty and, you know, not a lot of resources. So it's kind of hit home trying to really help, you know, that group out while trying to help, you know, myself out in that process. But, you know, just really trying to help educate others to really kind of help out and, you know, see the disparities that is going on, you know, in our world. So really, that's really where my passion lies. With those Native American youth going forward.
That's what I love so much about doing this show and having these conversations, because I think there's so much overlap, you know, between mm-hmm. industry and from person to person. You can have two completely different stories, but still we're all going through a lot of the same things. And one thing that stuck out to me with what you just said was, you know, that's that $1 million question, you know, kind of like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to focus on, you know, what realm of education? And you said, you know, you're still working through that. So how have you kind of been dealing with working through that I'm not really sure. I have an idea of, all right, this is the direction, this is the group I want to help, but I still want to explore. What has that whole process been like for you? Has it been easy, stressful? Take me through that whole mindset for you.
I'd say at first it's been stressful, especially, you know, when you don't pass those tests, you're kind of get, you know, you get discouraged and you're like, dang, is this really for me? Like, do I really want to, you know, teach, you know, but, you know, talking with my family, helped, you know, having that rock and that support system, is really important. So really just them having my back and believing in me and having faith, really helped me push, you know, wherever I'm going, you know, that's where I'm supposed to go. And right now, you know, I'm just kind of going with the flow, following wherever, you know, this education journey takes me.
I love that. And I'm such a big believer in the power of having that support system. And I always kind of, draw the analogy to it being like a boxing corner, you know, in between rounds, you got to have your support system, your coaches, you know, people to wipe the blood off your face, put the teeth back in, send you back out for more, you know, so that's awesome that you have your family in there. From your experiences, you know, I would imagine, especially within that, the early childhood, it's important to help the students that you work with and the children that you work with to establish those things. So how do you go about sharing ways to establish building that corner, building that support system, so you have something in place when things do get tough? So how do you go about that?
Most definitely. I think the biggest part is, you know, creating that relationship first and foremost, whether, you know, you're working with college kids, high school kids, all the way down to, you know, the 3 and 4 year olds, even babies for that point. You know, just make sure that those children or, you know, your colleagues feel that, you know, you care for them, you know, you appreciate what they're saying and what they're bringing to the table. And just because these kids are, you know, 4 and 5, those kids do have feelings, they have thoughts. And sometimes they can impress you with what they know and what they can say. So, you know, really giving them the voice and the power to, you know, speak their mind is huge.
I love that. And this just popped in my head. That's why I was smiling there is, you know, I might be putting you on the spot here, but can you think of a piece of wisdom that a 4 or 5 year old shared with you that really resonated with you?
I mean, I could say a couple, but usually is when I work at summer camp back home with our tribal youth, and, you know, kids can read the room like right like that. So if you know, you're having a bad day or, you know, something's going on, you know, they always have like that right thing to say. That can just cheer you up and just, you know, make you smile at, you know, make your heart happy. And really just, I think those things are really what gets me going, what keeps me to keep pushing throughout this whole educational journey is because those kids just see something in you that you may not even see. So I think that's the huge part.
I love that. And I think that's so cool to be able to take something away from people that may not even be ahead of you, you know, just having that open mind and being curious to the world around you, I think is so important. And that's going to, you know, help you get to wherever it is that you want to go. So no, that's good stuff. I love that. So let's talk about the doctoral program you're in right now, bringing things up to present day. So how long have you been in the program, you know, up until this point?
Almost a year. It'll be a year in August. So.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, the ups and downs, the ins and outs of that program, and the transition between undergrad to master's to the doctoral level. So what has that whole journey been like for you? Because for those of you who don't know, you're not too old, you know, you're pretty young guy still, so you're getting into
I could get into that. Well, like you said, I mean, I came to college when I was 17, so, you know, that's still pretty young. And then, you know, when I finished my bachelor's, I knew I always wanted to get my master's, because, you know, I always been in like competition with my sisters. They both have their master's also in education. So I was like, well, I have to go get my master's, you know, to like even the playing field here. And then, you know, in the back of my head, it was always, you know, what am I going to do after? And, you know, that doctorate question was always like lurking in my mind. You know, it's something that I really wanted to do. But it was just whether, do I want to do it right after, or do I want to wait? And I sat down and I talked to my sisters, my mom, my grandma, my dad. You know, we had long discussions and they just said that, you know, right now I don't have anything really to like hold me back. Whereas like my sisters, they had families, jobs, you know, really like kind of grueling process through their master's. I was like, I don't want that. I don't want to be, you know, removed from the educational world and then try to force myself back into it. So I just decided to, you know, apply for the doctorate program with support of the education department here at Lynn. You know, a lot of professors really wanted me to pursue this. So entering the doctoral program at 23 years old, I mean, that's 22 years old, turning 23, about to turn 24 in October. But I mean, it's been a whirlwind, you know, sitting in classrooms with a lot of principals, superintendents, you know, people who've been in the field for a while. You know, it can get intimidating, but as long as, you know, where you're coming from and you speak, you know, how you've been, you know, through the educational world, you know, you always have that place, at the table.
I think that's such an interesting point too. And again, there goes that overlap again, between industries, and I think it's very easy to be in a room filled with principals, in a room full of AEPs, you know, counselors, whatever it may be, right? People who are high in the education educational community. And this goes the same kind of thing if you're talking to business owners, CEOs. Based off of people's positions, it can be easy to forget the fact that, hey, they're a person, they put their pants on one leg at a time too. So what has that been? How have you been able to get to that point of understanding that, hey, these are my peers and I can have open conversations with them, and my perspective is valuable? Because I think that's something that often goes undervalued from ourselves as a person, you know, saying, hey, I'm 22, I'm 23. I need 25 years of experience before I can say my piece. So how do you go about that?
Most definitely. And again, it all started with the master's program, doing my capstone. And I looked at Native American graduation rates across the country, you know, and how they're impacting a lot of youth. And then I got a lot of push from Dr. Lesh, who's a great professor. I love her to death. And, you know, she really pushed me to go into the doctorate program. So I kind of wanted to follow that topic up into the doctorate program. So a lot of the knowledge that I'm bringing is a lot of Native youth and just Native education in general. And a lot of times we don't really hear about it in schools. So a lot of times my colleagues in class are just like, whoa, like I never realized that. And it helps sparks that conversation that way, where it's something that I can really bring to the table and make different, you know, while I'm still learning from all of them and all their experiences, which is huge.
That's awesome. So why do you think that is? Why is the issues surrounding, you know, Native American youth so under talked about, or not talked about enough, in your opinion?
I don't know. And that's, you know, that's the hard question and the hard debate that, you know, people have been trying to figure out for a while. I will say though, that it's starting to become more prevalent, in today's society with social media, especially starting with, the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of, people of color have started to come together, and really force like all of their issues out, together. But again, it really just comes down to, you know, the curriculum, the state, you know, sitting down and really trying to adjust and, you know, meet those needs. Because when you talk about learning, you really want to learn something that really means something to you. So when you talk about, you know, that social studies or history, you know, you learn about like the Holocaust, slavery, maybe a little bit about, you know, the settlers, you learn about, you know, the first Thanksgiving, you learn a lot of these things that, yeah, parts are true, but it's more of just a fallacy. So really just trying to help rewrite that is huge.
That's big stuff. That's big stuff. And I know there's no better guy to do it than you. So, you know, the future of education is in good hands. I know that for certain. So I want to touch on a little bit too, a little bit of your basketball background. You came here to Lynn, you know, you work with the basketball team. And can you talk about how that has impacted, influenced you in your educational pursuits?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you can teach in all aspects, and especially in sports. You know, coming from high school, you know, I was playing sports all year round. So, you know, coming to college, I was kind of out of place. And then I met my good friend, Justin. He was the manager. So I was like, hey, like, I'll do that with you. And it ended up being probably the best decision of my life. You know, meeting those guys, hanging out, meeting their connections, you know, still to this day, you know, those relationships will never end. So, I mean, it's just the opportunities were endless, especially, you know, going forward, especially with Coach Price and all the people that he knows. You know, the possibilities are endless, where whether I want to ask him, hey, like, I'm looking to go to like a coaching job, or, you know, help me find, you know, my niche. But, you know, other than that, it's been a great experience.
Do you have any interest in going into coaching on the athletic sides, doing the stuff that you're doing?
I've thought about it. I know Dr. Lesh has mentioned it, like, hey, like, I can help you get, you know, a job over here. And like, I've thought about it. I've had a couple of offers back home in Connecticut. But I had to turn down because of the doctorate program. But I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, against, you know, anything, you know, whatever happens, happens. And just like, I'm letting everything, you know, fall into place.
Beautiful. And we're touching on that $1 million question again, as we're getting to the end here. So after the doctorate program, if you could pin it, and, you know, by the time this comes out, we, you know, may change, because I know you're always working. What do you think that next step post-doctorate would be, if you had to say?
I mean, my end goal for the longest time has been opening up a Native American school back home in Connecticut. whether it's, you know, a boarding school or, you know, just some sort of school that can help kids, you know, rewrite that boarding school narrative to help them, you know, get away from their situation where they are at home. If they're, you know, against, you know, that those issues, you know, try to get them into a positive light. But yeah, that'd probably be my end goal. You know, don't know how I'm going to get there, but some way that's where we're going.
No, I know. I don't have a doubt in the world that you'll get there. You'll figure it out. You'll find a way. So no, that's awesome. So now it is that time of the show that I always say it's my favorite and least favorite time at the same time, because it's coming to an end, but I always love to hear what you have to say. So it's time to cash out. So leave us with your most valuable piece of advice that you have for the people. What do you got for us today?
You know, when I thought about this for a little bit, and I think I'm going to go with always bet on yourself. And I know it can be like a little cliche, but that's really the truest statement that I've ever heard, is really just bet on yourself. Because at the end of the day, you're always going to be there. You know, you never know who's going to be by your side, who's going to be pushing you. But, you know, when you lay your head down at night, that's always going to be you, you know, pushing to get to where you want to go.
I love it. It's simple, succinct, powerful. Covers it all. It's valuable. Good little cash for the pocket for the road. So Adam, I can't thank you enough, and I'm super pumped and excited to see what you have coming down the road, because I know you'll take care of business no matter where you go. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Ben.